WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of WWE Hell in the Cell, and there were hells, there were cells, and some people went through hell, and some people's emotions went through hell. I'm sure we'll go through all of the layers of hell as the show progresses. But to kick things off, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I am surviving on Red Bull and nachos. If I suddenly fall asleep dead, just move on. This is what happens when someone gets up at 5:30 in the morning to go and collect recycle on less than 5 hours sleep. I am a potato.
You did what's best for business.
If I got fucking paid, yeah.
For those at home, if you hear a sudden thud of someone landing on the floor as they pass out, I will have a White Ranger figure on eBay tomorrow morning. Check my Twitter for the eBay link. Joining us also tonight, we have Lindsay.
My ovaries hurt.
A double dose of the Wyatts will probably do that to you.
Wyatt's shield... fantastic main event. Yeah, my ovaries, they just kind of hurt. Just a little bit. They popped a couple times tonight. God damn you, WWE.
Good lord.
Well, we've got someone's review of the show.
I warned you in the chat that was going to happen. Just you, saying.
You know what? I wanna see the quote, my ovaries popped a few times on the DVD cover when this pay-per-view gets released.
I can send it to the WWE, but I doubt they'll put it in there.
Well, in the little review quotes on the back of the box.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Omega tells them, then well, it'll be good.
You know what? If I could get any of the Shield or Bray Wyatt to respond to the comment, thanks for making my ovaries pop, I would totally do it, but sadly none of them will.
Head to Twitter now.
Jesus. Well, if anybody can get them to respond, it's you.
Exactly.
Just let me know when you tweet it so I can screen cap it at Wild Talk Radio. You made my ovaries pop.
Hi, everybody. Have you missed us? This is WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on WrestleTalkRadio.com. Tim Stein is not with us tonight, and he won't be for the foreseeable future. He's chained off somewhere in Calgary, so.
Which means we can take the network over.
it's about
this means
time.
This means we can actually go an episode talking about Lindsay's ovaries and not have any perverted comments come from it.
They'll be perverted comments, but they won't be old.
But they'll be funny.
There you go.
They won't be creepy.
Alright, I want to make a rule. If you like to call it tonight, it's 267-297-1397. You can bitch, moan, praise the pay-per-view if you would like.
You're opening the phone line?
I'm opening the phone line.
Oh my god, he's gone rogue!
If people would like to comment about the show, they can. We'll give them that opportunity because we're going to have that opportunity to go through the entire show tonight.
Tim's been gone one night and we're that desperate?
Yes, yes we are.
Lord.
The new error starts now. Era, no, error. Just point that one out, Tommy.
E-R-A, not E-R-R-R-R.
Yeah. E-R-A. Anyway.
You gotta remember, Tim's not in control anymore, so things aren't gonna fuck up as much.
Good, good point. Sure you did. Anyway, let's start off the pre-show, which kinda had a change in it, cause going in we thought it was going to be Big E Langston versus, Curtis Axel, but apparently he blew out his hips.
How do you do that?
This is where
I'm having more fun imagining his posture after. As he just kind of slumps around like Gumby.
I'm kind of imagining his legs just like in a split and I just have to carry him everywhere.
Right. This is where I turn it over to Mace for the medical diagnosis.
I got nothing on this one. Popping hips? All I know is it's painful, but I can't give you much more insight than that.
Is it like you dislocated your hip or what?
Who the hell knows? There's so much that can go wrong in that area, but yeah, it's one of those things of he's probably going to have to get scans done and rest up. He'll probably be out for, I don't know, depending on the severity, he could be out for up to 3-4 months. Because, you know, he's not John Cena, he can't come back quickly.
He's not Superman, though. which then made us to give us a change to Damian Sandow and Kofi Kingston in the pre-show. Thoughts?
We'll let Mace just take this one.
And that's where his connection dies out.
Uh-oh, nice. Well...
Alright, let's try that again. Mace... You died. Talking about Damian Sandow, Kofi Kingston, Mace. 1, 2, 3.
Yay!
Once again, it's a White Ranger mint in box.
Follow TJ Omega on Twitter for the eBay link.
I'm alive, bitch. Fuck off. Okay, I should also tell everybody there's maintenance going on in my area, so my net is fucking terrible tonight. I blame Rock.
No.
He's passed the troubles to Lindsay, and he's passed them to me, so...
Rock's all internet? Rock's fault. Yeah, Rock's internet made my internet sick, it's now made Mace's internet sick. Omega, you're next.
No, my modem is wearing a condom.
Alright. For the third time, this feels like CB Radio. Mace, thoughts on Damian Sandow, Kofi Kingston?
Motherfucker stole my finish! I had to double check that! Damian Sandow stole my finish!
Alright, before we get more of your thoughts, we have a caller online. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. What's your name? Where are you calling from? That went super. Anyway, back to you, Mace.
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights.
Yes.
To be honest, and we're probably going to say this throughout the entire pay-per-view, but this match was better than Bound for Glory.
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't compare it to Bound for Glory.
You can! Once you take the gimmicks out and you put the pacing of the show and the pacing of the matches, how the guys perform, the effort that was put in, it's very comparable. Sure, it's like opposite sides of the mirror, but sure.
Just kick the dog when it's down. God.
Fuck yes.
Anyway.
But yeah, great back and forth by these guys, considering that it was like a last-minute changeover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good on them. They stepped up, gave them a chance to shine on pay-per-view, but mind you, we now have to probably reclass Kofi Kingston, considering how many matches he's been losing lately. Jobber just does not cut it.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you put the black hole of doom right in a certain area of your pants.
True.
Not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Caller, you're welcome to WTR Sunday night.
Hello?
Twice. Love
okay,
this.
If you're just going to call and hang up on us, don't call us.
Twice.
Good
twice.
Idea, Rock.
make sure that the phone is plugged in.
Take
make
it
sure
off
your connection's good when you call, okay?
Try to
make
be
sure you're unmuted on your phone if you have a smartphone.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, be interactive and, you know, see what happens. Alright. Where were we?
We were talking
about... I just finished my wrap up on the
first. Yeah, we were talking about the black hole of doom in someone's pants. So Lindsay, talk about the match.
I thought it was a good match. Solid opener. Damien cut a nice little promo before the match. Good way to start off the pay-per-view.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a bad match. I mean, considering it technically didn't start off the pay-per-view, but...
Thanks
for credit. I do feel bad. Mace is kind of right. Kofi at this point, because Damien does not have the best win-loss record lately. Quite the contrary.
No, but he picked up a win over Ziggler on Manon, I think, Sandow, a week or so ago. So he's kind of winning, kind of, sort of.
Kind
of. They've been keeping him quiet last couple weeks.
But yeah, we got to find some of them. Like Kofi is becoming the jobber to the stars. Like he's got talent, he's got some level of credibility, but he also does not have much going for him right now.
No, he really doesn't. Well, maybe luck next year for Kofi Kingston. We then go backstage and we get a Miz, Lindsay. And he wants to fight someone.
Yeah, he wants a Bray Wyatt.
He wanted go ahead.
To which I said we all want a Bray Wyatt, but you just can't walk up to Vicky Guerrero and demand him. It doesn't work like that.
Speaking from experience.
Yes.
The Miz says he wants to wrestle Bray Wyatt, but Miz isn't cleared, so, well, he's not cleared to wrestle, but he's cleared to fight. And, well, he plans to fight Bray Wyatt, actually, on the pay-per-view. We also, during the pre-show, got a setup for Dean Ambrose versus Big E Langston. They had a little back-and-forth while Big E was previewing some matches with the expert superstar panel.
Can I rant just a minute on Vicky?
Yes.
Vicky,
let's all step back.
When somebody says, I'm spoiling for a fight, that's kind of self-explanatory. You shouldn't be demanding an explanation from the guy. If anything, you're the general manager. You should be saying, no, you're not going to go out there and kick the crazy dude with the two other bigger dudes' ass. In fact, I'm going to call security and stop you from doing that. That would be the logical thing to do, as opposed to standing there like an idiot going, excuse me, what do you mean?
Just because you've had some overweight bearded guy and his very tall bearded friends beating you up on a weekly basis, I have no idea what you want.
You know, sure, they laid you out and chained you up and humiliated you on Friday, but, you know, that's a normal Friday night for you, right?
Be glad you didn't have to pay for it this time.
Oh.
So does that mean, like me, Vicky Guerrero doesn't watch SmackDown?
She doesn't watch her own show? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I had to rant on that. And I also kind of want to rant on the panel.
Well, before you rant on the panel, can I at least compliment the panel?
Yes.
I actually want to compliment the way that they set up the Big E Langston versus Dean Ambrose match. That was very well done. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the crossover to an interview with The Shield. Big E starts talking. Ambrose snaps at him. They snap back and forth. Next thing you know, there's a match. It's a good way to suddenly create a match for the pay-per-view, and it gets people who are watching the pre-show, who have yet to buy the show, go, ooh, they're really getting into it. I might want to order this now. And now I step back because Lindsay's going to rant again.
Can we just, like, get people on the panel that can talk?
They had Ziggler.
They had Ziggler, but... And I love Caitlyn, don't get me wrong. I really love the new hair on Caitlyn, by the way. It looks so much better than the two-tone she had going on. Mm-hmm. But it's like... And I agree with Mace. I liked how they set up the Ambrose-Langston match between Langston and The Shield. That was really nicely done. But yeah, it's like, can we get people on this panel that can talk? Please?
It didn't help. She was reading the script word for word that was right in front of her.
Yeah, I love Caitlyn to death, and it's like when she's... I honestly feel like that was a cold read for her. Like, she was just standing there, and that was the first time she'd ever seen it. But yeah, it's just like... Caitlyn in particular was a little awkward... And then the rest, Ziggler was okay, but it's like there was just this, I don't know, there wasn't a flow to it.
Ziggler's best spot was during the actual show, when he went, maybe, for
yeah.
an answer. So we move on to the main show itself, and it opened up with the Triple Threat Tag Team title match, the Rhodes family defending against the Shield and the Usos. Thoughts? Omega.
That match was already worth more than Bound for Glory.
That was Mace's line, wasn't it?
No, it was Omega's line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brock, if Mace wants to steal my line, he'll steal it.
Okay, sorry.
Don't steal it for him.
Sorry. Anyway, react to the match.
Damn good match. You know, we talk about the Usos have this way of turning up the heat. You know, jumping up one more notch when they've got the Shield against them. And that was on display. And, of course, the Rhodes that have been really on fire lately. And I don't know how, like, Goldust somehow looks better than I've seen him ever. And I'm not... DDP Yoga shines again, I guess.
I would agree with you there. He is looking better than ever. What do you think, Mace?
Definitely agree. Like, the comment went out on Twitter. I kept an eye on Twitter throughout the entire pay-per-view. And Matthew of Botchamania fame, he said, you know, hey, WWE, now do you understand why Goldust is still so popular after all these years? Hmm. You know, the guy can mix it up, and he's been mixing it up for years with all sorts of guys. He is this universal worker that can just go out there and have a great match with just about anybody. You know, even though he does look like Darth Maul on crack, but... you know, as for the rest of the guys, you know, everybody was really on point in this match. Good to see them doing... some sort of innovative or at least some risky stuff that people don't do that often. The suplex to the outside off the top rope.
Mm-hmm, the suplex.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see that when you get the right mix of people, together that they'll just mesh and they'll create this really, really good and really hot opener, which has definitely set the pace for the rest of the night.
I will ask this question when I go. The phone number to call on the show is 267-297-1397. UK Shane in the chat room asks, and I'll ask this to you, Lindsay. Tag team match? Match of the night?
I wouldn't say it was match of the night, but it was a really, really, really fantastic way to officially open your pay-per-view and start your show, because, as I said it before, and I'll continue to say it until I guess I die, I don't know, awkward reference, anyway. The first match of the show really sets the pace for the rest of the show, and you can really tell a lot based on the first match of the show how it's going to go. And this was a really, really, really fantastic way to start your show off officially. I mean, I've got nothing but praise for this match. They did a wonderful job. Tag team matches that are three ways are usually a little bit hairy, but you had three teams in there that knew what they were doing. They clicked really well together. You could tell that they wanted to go out there and take advantage of the opportunity that they had been given, and they basically kicked the door in.
Right.
And basically probably went backstage and looked at everybody and went, hey, follow that.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up the pace towards the very end of the match and saw Cody Rhodes hit Crossroads on Seth Rollins. So the Rhodes family retain the tag team title. Smart move.
Do we want to mention the superplex to the outside?
Mace did.
I want to mention again. God damn.
All right. It's a great spot. Fantastic spot. It was one of those spots that was, wait, are they really going to? And yes, they did.
Again, risk paid off in this case.
Exactly. It was one of the things where, innovative, something new, something we don't see often.
It's a spot they tease every now and then, but they never actually go through with it, and I guess it helps when you got four guys on the outside to catch.
Exactly. So yeah, smart move to keep the belt on the Rhodes family.
Most definitely. They've only had it like 2 weeks. So it pays to keep up the hype on them and have them keep the belts for the moment. To be honest, a couple of times I thought the Usos were going to take it with the way they were working tonight.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Usos are the ones that are next in the line for it.
It's quite possible.
Still good to keep the belts on the roads. They're still the feel-good story in the WWE right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we move on from the tag title match to an awkward, moment for The Miz.
Have been stalking me. Last Friday night on SmackDown, they beat me up, chained me up, wrote liar across my chest, and now I'm not medically cleared to compete in a match tonight. But that doesn't mean that I'm not cleared to fight. Bray Wyatt, get out of your Cracker Barrel rocking chair. Leave your two hillbilly bushwhackers out at the compound and get out here now. You're always telling me to follow the buzzards. Well, I'm right here. Come and get me.
For what you wish for. Who has nothing left to lose. Please understand. your words mean less than salt to me. And if you could only see the monster that lives behind my eyes.
And at that point, we had the Wyatt family, Rowan and Harper, attack the Miz, which then, well, as Miz was getting beat down, we saw the return of Kane, which many expected. He made the save, getting rid of the Wyatt, and then ended up chokeslamming the Miz for the hell of it. See what happens there. I go to Omega first. Thoughts on this whole segment?
Poor Miz.
That's it.
That's part of it. You know, nice of them to try and make a little bit of a big deal out of Kane's return now that See No Evil 2 has filmed. Little disappointing that it seems like he's just going to come back in the tweener monster role. And probably continue to feud with the Wyatts. It just seems like, well, they were leading into something that actually could have given him a new characterization, something to give him something a little bit more to do, something new. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's going to lead into same old for Kane, which is kind of a letdown.
I'll throw it to you, Mace. React.
I got big laughs out of the Cracker Barrel chair, Cracker Barrel rocker comment, and a Bushwhackers reference. Yeah, I'm pretty much with Omega on this one. Like, it's good to see them hype Kane's return, but at the same time, it seems he's just going straight back into the same old, same old. Sure, hopefully we find out more tomorrow night on Raw as to what's going on with Kane. So, we get the return, but at the same time, it's like, okay, where have you been? What has been going on? Explain!
I now throw to Lindsay Wharton.
Plug your ears.
I'm not going to squee. The Miz portion of the segment was good. The fight with Rowan and Harper was a little awkward, but it was like that kind of bar fight situation when you've got both guys trying to get their hands on the Miz at the same time. That's just how they are. When Kane came out, it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Kane. And he's exactly the same.
Lindsay, he grew hair in a week.
He did grow hair in a week, and you could tell that he was wearing a wig, because that mask was seated really awkwardly on his face, because there's nothing on his head to hold the mask in place except for the straps. I'm going to wait it out, I'm going to see how it goes, because we'll get the explanation tomorrow night or tomorrow more than likely. I would almost bet they do a Miz TV segment either with the Wyatts or with Kane regarding what's happened and where he's been, but I'm kind of with Omega. They had a chance to do something really cool with Kane, and they still could, but they could have completely basically rebooted the Kane character off of this and taken him in a different direction, and I guess they've opted not to do that. Which kind of sucks. But I'll wait it out. I'll see. I would have preferred to have seen Bald Kane come back, because I know he's bald under that mask. But whatever. So, yeah, this segment didn't give me the warm and fuzzies. Bray's promo was interesting. It was good. Overall, it was good. And we should mention the really awkward spot where Kane could not pick up Luke Harper.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That was bad.
Someone hasn't been training that well.
He did look. His arms looked a little thinner.
Yeah, so that didn't look good. The fact that you have Kane trying to pick up Luke Harper, and he can't pick up Luke Harper. It's like that's not Kane. Of course, you know, you could trade that off to the fact that he could have been incapacitated for a little while and he's just not as strong as he was. But yeah, I'm more curious about the explanation of basically where the hell have you been for 2 months? And what's going on with the Wyatts and you and Miz, but I'm hoping that they continue the Bray Wyatt-Miz feud and you just have Kane circling on the outside. Waiting. Because if they, like, just take Wyatt and Wyatt and Kane directly into a feud and kick Miz out, then this whole thing has been for nothing. And it just makes everything look stupid.
I would agree. What do you guys think?
Yep. Pretty much the exact same thought.
Yeah, the Miz is a story full of half-baked storylines that they dropped out of nowhere, so it'd suck if they did it to him again.
I like that he called him Hollywood in the promo. That was a nice touch. I guess no one cared about that one. Anyway.
Wait, what was it?
I like that he called him Hollywood in the promo.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Silence across the board. Anyway.
I thought it was just a statement of fact, not a question.
Maybe that's why Kane didn't get brainwashed. He went back to do a movie and went, oh wait, I misjudged you.
Mm-hmm. Our next contest of the evening saw Fandango and Summer Rae take on the Great Khali and Natty Neidhart. Omega.
Ziggler doesn't get a match on the pay-per-view, but Khali does.
Mm-hmm.
There's no justice here.
Khali's a former... they're both former world champions. But Khali's been on TV more, I guess. I don't know.
It got Natty on the pay-per-view. Don't argue.
When the girls were in, Maze, the match was pretty good.
It was. I blanked on this one.
This is
where I think I had a brief nap.
What does it say about Fandango and Khali, when we can sit here and honestly go, yeah, the Divas portion was the best part of the match?
Well, it was Great Khali. Really can't do much with Great Khali.
Point. But once upon a time, his knees were bad and he was going home and never soiling my eyes again.
Yeah, that long since changed. At least,
God damn the American medical system.
Mm-hmm. At least he wasn't doing what we saw later in the show with a Hall of
Famer. No, shut up. That didn't happen.
We'll get into that here in a bit. Summer Rae and Fandango beat Natty and the Great Khali when Summer Rae rolled up Natty. Moving on, U.S. titles on
wait,
the...
Wait, I don't get to say anything?
I thought you did. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, fuck off now, you already moved go, on.
No,
I thought
go
Tim
ahead.
Was gone.
Jeez!
Lindsay, thoughts?
I was going to say, this was Summer Rae's debut match, and she actually did fairly well. I was pleasantly surprised, so it's like, go Summer Rae.
She's been having good matches from what I've heard down in NXT.
That's what I've heard as well, so it's like when I saw she was actually going to wrestle, I'm like, hey,
How about that?
And I'd actually be curious to see a feud between her and Natty.
That would be interesting. I would like to see Summer Rae on Total Divas, which returns November 10th on E!
Yeah, that won't happen.
No? It'd be interesting.
Oh, it could be very interesting, but I doubt it.
Maybe season 2.
Possibly.
United States Championships on the line, Dean Ambrose versus Big E Langston. Thoughts, Lindsay?
Good match. Very, very solid match. Langston hurt my Dino, but that's okay.
Right. Mace, belly to belly.
Yeah. way to obviously call that one, Dean.
Coming to a Botchamania near you.
Yeah, no shit. Watch out for this one on Botchamania. People talk too much. And, as for the rest of this match, actually a very good match. Dean's a bump machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude sells everything like he's being hit in the chest with a shotgun, which is awesome. the little impact between the two that sort of split both people open, completely Langston's fault. He should have kept an eye on where he was going, sort of went a bit too fast, and clunk.
They went head to head, which resulted in, I believe, 7 stitches for Big E under the right eye, and Ambrose had 8 under his chin.
He hurt my Dino. but fear not, everybody. Dean's earring is okay.
It has a Tumblr. Omega.
Yeah, Twitter.
It has a Twitter, too. Good lord. Omega thoughts on the match, and even the finish with the spear to the outside.
Yeah, that was, I will give Big E credit for that, because that's kind of a, I don't know, but that kind of looks like a very awkward spot to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for a match they put together last minute, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. It was a decent match between the eyes, and yeah, it helps that Big E is a monster, and yeah, Dean sells things like he got hit by Thor's hammer.
All right. Go ahead.
Ambrose and Ziggler, soon in WWE video games, they're going to have to incorporate ragdoll physics for them.
All right. This is your last attempt. Caller, welcome to WTR Sunday Night. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Dude, what the hell?
Same person 3 times. He hung on the line as Omega was talking. When we go to him, he disappears. Anyway, Big E picked up the victory after the spear via countout. Following the match, Big E hit the big ending on Dean Ambrose and held up the U.S. title. So is the title coming to Big E at some point, Omega?
I don't know. I was talking to a friend of mine during the pay-per-view, and he mentioned Big E actually looks like he wants the U.S. title. And my thought immediately went, don't. The last guy who said that is stuck doing an internet show for all eternity.
You know it?
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's kind of rough since they had him feuding in this one direction, and now all of a sudden they got him going the other. So it's going to be interesting to see where they have to kind of improvise just to kind of save whatever push they were going to give to Big E.
Mm-hmm. Could be that Axel, as Mace pointed out in his medical analysis earlier, he could be out 3 months, and well, that won't be good for a title win for Big E.
Yeah, but would it hurt Big E to necessarily feud with Dean Ambrose?
Oh no, it wouldn't hurt him to feud with Dean Ambrose. It'll be a good thing.
Yes, I mean, Dean's not doing anything, so.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to throw money at this one. well, that's the thing, you know. As Omega's friend was saying, Big E looks like he wants a title.
He's
whether it's the IC title or the US title, I don't think he really gives a rat's ass what. Hell, he could take both if he really wants. But the idea of a Big E Langston versus Dean Ambrose feud is intriguing. Because they had good back and forth during the pre-show, and as the match showed tonight, they both worked together really well. So this is something worth exploring.
Right. And now, without the fancy intro music, it's time for the first Hell in a Cell. CM Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman. I'll throw it to Omega first. No fancy intro?
Wait. Hang on. My lift isn't in position yet. Hang on. Wait. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to find a driver who could get it to go in a straight line.
Explain to the people at home what you're talking about.
My God. Okay, so apparently, since you can wrestle on top of the cell, that counts as being in the match. Mm-hmm. So Heyman has the bright idea, once the cell's down, locked, and all that, he comes out after Ryback in a giant scissor lift, and he's monologuing to CM Punk as he ascends up the lift and gets let out right on top of the cell, where he remains for the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have kind of been this kind of cool, like, old school, like Andre the Giant WrestleMania 3 entrance. Except the driver apparently had never seen one of these in his life.
He was having trouble navigating.
Yeah. It may what could have been an interesting entrance just become absolutely hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman went to the top of the cell and called himself Satan Mass.
Yeah. Straight out of the Sinister Minister playbook, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, Heyman distracting the crowd from some very flawed machinery by talking off a storm like he usually does.
Yeah.
Can't floor the guy for that.
Now I've run this test. The caller's been on the line for about a minute or two. Caller, welcome to WTR Sunday Night.
Hey, we got sound that time! What?
Dude, whoever you are, if you are listening, don't try again. Obviously, okay. Something is not working somewhere between your phone and our connection, so let's leave it be for the night.
Person from South Carolina, please stop calling. You've had your chances.
South Kakalaka.
They're calling from South Carolina. Put your comments in the chat and we'll read them on the air, because obviously your phone isn't working.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You don't like us and you don't want us to talk to you.
Or his phone doesn't like Skype, one or the other. Anyway.
Someone check to see if he has a cell phone tower within like 100 miles.
We'll get someone right on it.
Pick the Comcast people. I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
Well, they guarantee service for everything, including pants.
Pants? You pants. Look so cute in short pants.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Let's go.
This is why we don't play dress up anymore.
Well, you looked really cute, and never mind.
Not on the air.
Anyway, Hell in a Cell, CM Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman, Mace. Go.
It was a good match. Solid, surprisingly. Personally, I was just more wondering what's going to happen with Paul. You know, is he going to start, as Omega put it, spitting on
yeah.
Punk, or...
waiting for him to just start hawking loogies down from the top.
To be honest, I was half expecting a quick cut the camera angle. There's yellow liquid coming from the top of the cell. Because that fucking 60 feet straight up, man. I give props for Heyman going up there, and sure, he was hanging on to that steel cable for dear life. But still, props for him for going up there.
Apparently he's afraid of heights, so even bigger props.
Exactly!
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, you know, surprisingly solid match out of Ryback. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. But thank God this feud is supposedly over, or at least we're hoping that it's over.
It kind of put to rest Ryback Omega as a legit talent tonight.
No, we could have put him away as a legit talent a long time ago. This just put him away as a legitimate threat.
Okay.
Now you have everything going for him. You should have had Paul Heyman just kind of raining down whatever small objects he could have smuggled into that jacket.
He should have brought a bag of Skittles. Piece of candy.
You know what the funny thing is? I could see CM Punk falling for that too.
Yes!
It's like, complete with, he'd pick up a microphone afterwards when the package is playing after the match or something, and it's like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. All the way to the backstage area.
No, the better spot would have been Paul Heyman's dropping the candy, Punk looks up, opens his mouth, and catches it in his mouth.
Yes!
Omega, thoughts?
I'm now imagining a commercial that says "Bludgeon the Rainbow, Taste the Rainbow."
Well, we wonder how Skittles get so juicy.
I kept watching this match, going, "Please, please, let that cage ceiling be welded together well. Let's not have another Mick Foley incident."
Mm-hmm.
Which got me especially nervous when they went for the GTS on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a second there, you thought, Punk, why are you moving so close to the edge?
Heyman's like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. Good thing he was wearing black pants, Lindsay.
Very good thing he was wearing black pants, but yeah. Overall, match. It was a good match. It was better than I expected to be. It was better than last year. But pretty much, I was sitting through the whole match just waiting for it to be over, because the only thing you're really waiting for is for Punk to finally get his hands on Heyman. But I have to applaud Paul Heyman for going up on the top of that cell and staying up there the whole time. Especially being as afraid of heights as he was, because he looked terrified to be up there. So basically, they probably didn't put him up there before the show.
Right.
And since I didn't get to talk about it, the cherry picker, oh dear lord, just no, or the scissor lift, just get people who can drive. It's just easier. But yeah, this was really well done. I was actually curious to see if they would go for a spot where Heyman goes off the side of the cage. Whether they would do that, because you know that crossed Punk's mind. You know that crossed Heyman's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And either one of them wasn't game for it, or WWE wasn't game for it, but I was actually half expecting Heyman, when he went up on the top, to go off the top.
And when they got to the top, after CM Punk beat Ryback with the GTS in the ring, clean, for the 1-2-3, he took his big cane, went to the top of the cell, and beat Paul Heyman repeatedly with the cane, Omega.
Someone's gonna get a letter from PETA about seal bludgeoning.
Walrus bludgeoning.
I lost count how many times he got hit.
Yeah, a lot. Punk got in every shot he didn't get to lay in the last time. It's... I mean, overall, I mean, yeah, I will agree with the panel here. It's a better match than I expected it to be. Ryback does have a spot in the match where he's throwing in vertical suplexes to throw Punk into the wall over and over, which that was good. That I like. Actually use it, because Ryback's okay, aside from when he's trying to lift Mark Henry, He is a power wrestler, so I kind of like that they actually thought of a few spots he could do that actually showed that off.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. Because you wouldn't expect most in the Hell in a Cell to be able to pull off a spot like that. But yeah, better match than I expected it to be. And yeah, scared to death for Heyman up on top of the cell. God, I'm wondering how long it took for him to get peeled off the top.
took at least 5 minutes from all the stuff they did afterwards. But, yeah, Heyman's going to be sore?
Yeah, he's going to definitely be sore right about now. Because when those welts come in and he goes to sit down, oh, dude, you're going to be in some pain. I got to say, I was quite surprising when they pulled the table out.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryback only put it on its side, and I'm like, Ryback.
Ryback, yeah.
Another 90 degrees, please. You know, and then he goes to pick up Punk for the powerbomb, and I'm like, oh, fuck no. It turned into a reversal, and it's like, oh, that's not so bad.
And then...
Okay, ducks to clothesline. Atomic drop onto the side of the table. Ow! And he wasn't gentle about it either.
No.
He's not gentle about anything.
Punk's nether region won't be in shape tonight.
Poor AJ.
It's not the best in the world right now.
It's okay. I'm sure she can figure out a way to make it feel better.
Moving on, he says, because I got no follow-up.
She's going to kiss the boo-boo rock.
And light it up. And on that note, we're going to take a break here on WT. Oh,
not.
Get it up for her to light it up, that's the question.
We'll have to find out. You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick timeout to get into the World Heavyweight title match and the WWE title match as well. So stay tuned to WTR Sunday Night right here, wildtalkradio.com. I'm a cult of personality. I like Mussolini and Kennedy. The cult of personality, the cult of personality, the cult of personality.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
My fellow Wild Talk Radioites, for weeks we have heard Rock and Lindsay debate about who is the mole. Now, all this fuss is done based on things that we say on shows like WTR Sunday Night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com, and The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, has been leaked by a mole in our group. Well, some of this is true. There is a lot said when we go off the air, and that's also typed in our production chat that also gets leaked to the WWE. So with that in mind, I claim today that the mole is... TJ Omega. That's right, people, TJ Omega. Think about it. Where is the WWE Performance Center? Florida. Where is NXT filmed? Florida. And where does TJ Omega live? That's right, Florida. The devious mastermind has a location to give all our knowledge and secrets and ideas directly to the WWE without leaving a paper trail that I, for one, will not stop trying to prove until it has been proven that TJ Omega is the mole. You can always listen to the programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That way you can find out what ideas the WWE will be stealing next. and TJ Omega is the mall.
This is Johnny B. Bad, the bad man of professional wrestling. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Here goes Johnny B. Bad, and you don't want to make it mad. This hurt as a picture.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in. Hi, Mace.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh,
hey, fuck you, Honk. Let's count them up. It's Rocks, one. Fuck you, Will. That's two. Fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Subway, fuck you.
Hey, Meg.
I was really fucked. Can I now have a kitten?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever. At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you. I can barely remember yesterday, Tim.
Oh, fuck, can you guys call
oh,
me?
Oh, God, are you getting Tim's dino?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you, Will, but not before Mace does.
It's basically descended into, like, a circular roast.
Nah, it's just another jerk-off podcast. Ask Mace.
Like, all of a sudden it popped up, and here's the whole gang, and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega, as he is, one told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moved him. I said, chill.
Did you know Superman is back, people? Welcome back to
Rock. What? Play the right music.
I don't have the Superman theme.
Play his true theme, damn it.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. God, I love how rumors on the internet get started. It's just amazing. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We'll probably address that after we get done Hell in a Cell. Because our next contest before we get to Superman Cena is Los Matadores taking on the Real Americans, Omega.
Mace, did they not look like they were in Vega cosplay tonight?
Yeah, they did. I was sort of I was waiting for a cage on the backdrop and you know them to start climbing up and
they had a cage tonight, they could have.
And, well, nobody gets what we're talking about.
Yeah. I think Zeb's gone a little overboard.
He is really pushing Yosemite Sam territory is now,
it,
isn't he?
Is it border jumping banditos now? Was that the line tonight?
I think that was the line
tonight. Guys,
I don't know.
My God, how terrible. These people jump the border between the U.S. and Spain.
That's a hell of a jump.
There's another racist joke that we made there, but I'll touch that one. Thoughts on the match?
Perfectly fine match. The Matadors are somehow like, I don't know what it is, but Primo and Epico couldn't get off the starting block, and these guys, but you know, put a couple masks on them and give them a midget bowl, and hey, they actually have something going.
Everything's better with a midget, right, Mace?
I guess. I don't know. You have to ask the midget connoisseur for that, and I don't think Spug's around, so.
Omega, want to say something?
Mike Myers movies were watchable when he had a midget. Kid Rock was actually famous when he had a midget. They lost their midgets. They're nothing. Proof.
I guess that's the point, Omega. Judges?
Can't deny it.
No. We'll give you that point. Lindsay, are you dizzy?
I don't know how people get, like, don't get sick in the spin move. Like, seriously, I'm waiting for someone to hurl. But I just want to say this. The electric blue with the neon pink? No. Just no. No, 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 no. That defies, like, everything wrong with color. Okay? No, I get it. Still save the boobies month and you gotta wear the pink. But for the love of Christ, wear the red tights with the pink, okay? It looks better. That blue was just awful. That's the only thing I remember from this match aside from the swing is the fact that the blue looks awful and El Torito almost fell on his face. Twice.
31 revolutions later on that giant swing. Those Matadores, though, were able to undizzy themselves and pick up the victory after Swagger and Cesaro collided after Cesaro was trying to pull the rope away from one of the Matadores to grab it while in the ankle lock. Nothing really more to add to that one?
Not at all, except JBL really has this thing for the bolt.
So does Renee Young. She's in love with the bull.
No, the bull is in love with her.
I think she's in love with the bull too.
I don't know. It's like, it's kind of hard to say, because there's like this awkward love triangle going on between like Goldust, Renee Young, and El Torito, and I'm just kind of waiting for it to explode. Because it will be hilarious when it happens.
Now we move on, because that's a bizarre triangle to say the least. World Heavyweight Championship is on the line.
What's Jerry Springer doing these days?
He hosts a show called Baggage. Really, really weird. World Heavyweight titles on the line, Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. I go to Omega first.
I have to admit, I haven't missed him.
No?
I will admit there's times when he was gone with injury and I'm like, you know, I kind of miss Superman a little bit. This time, the product has been perfectly fine, if not better without him. But, you know. Okay, good. You know, good for him though. I mean, he come back from injury way ahead of schedule because apparently it wasn't as bad as it was supposedly, and he did fine. You know, it was a very Cena match. You know, I really don't know what more I can say. It was a Cena match. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't innovative either.
He really didn't do much. He kind of sold the arm most of the match, Mace.
Called it, called it, called it, called it, called it, and you all fucking doubted me.
So you.
Oh, no, I didn't doubt you. No, I just wanted Alberto Del Rio to win.
So if you knew all along, you were the mole.
No, I just applied WWE logic. There's a difference. Omega's still them all.
Because as we realized, I think you're just trying to pass attention off.
Alan Cross doesn't deny being the mole. You notice this, right? Every time we call Omega out for being the mole, he doesn't deny it.
And silence from this part.
I have to keep you guessing.
So, it was, you know, didn't do much. Worked on the arm and the thoughts.
It was a Cena match. I figured Cena was going to win, but it was like, I really wanted to see Alberto Del Rio go in there, stomp Cena, break his arm, and win, just because it's like you could build him into something again, because he hasn't been anything for a while, and you could do a really nice comeback story with Cena where he sort of goes into this spiral of self-doubt and tell an interesting story with Cena, as opposed to, oh, hey, I'm Superman. I'm just going to dominate the WWE like I always do.
Daniel Bryan, most overface in the WWE. Let's tease the title with him for 4 or 5 months. Cena comes back from injury. Here, take whatever belt you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's going to help the World Heavyweight Championship. It's going to bring prestige to that belt, which, yay. But it's like, you've now, with Cena defeating Del Rio clean, now have killed basically your number two heel in the company. And there's now nobody really to face Cena for that title. Nobody. It's like, what the hell do you do?
Dolph Ziggler?
You're funny. I mean, basically, at this stage, what do? You turn Sandow back heel and have him feud with Cena? I mean, I don't know what to do. It's just like, you could have told a much longer, more interesting story between Del Rio and Cena, where Del Rio keeps getting Cena's number, and maybe it's something of, well, Cena came back too soon. Maybe he's not as good as he was before. You know, maybe he's lost his touch. You know, all these doubts. And then you finally have Cena have that big moment where he defeats Del Rio, as opposed to just having him come in, sell his arm for a little bit, and then do-do-do, he wins.
I mean, she does make salient point here.
She does.
They had so much opportunity they could have done with this. It would have raised Del Rio's credibility immensely if he could have gotten the win tonight. It could have led to much better stories. As it stands, it's just another Cena match. Whoopee, he won a title. And in other news, the Sun will come up tomorrow. It's just so done. You know, Cena's stale and boring as it is, let alone to just keep doing the same old thing with him. And I will say this, I thought they hit the abort button on the face Sandow.
They did. Because, well, he faced Kofi, and he was a heel.
Yeah, he's back to working heel that fast, which is probably because they were going to put the belt on Cena. So, you have one challenger there. We've got, you know, you can put Del Rio in a rematch, which of course they will for the next pay-per-view, and then there's whenever Sheamus is going to come back in, and I don't think he's coming back face.
Well, he has no face any longer, have you seen
it? Yeah, this is true.
He shaved off all of his facial hair. He looks weird.
He looks like a big 10-year-old.
Big pacey 10-year-old.
It's weird.
It is very weird.
He looks like a giant version of that kid that always ate paste in the art class.
Good point. What do you think? Is Lindsay Omega on point, Mace?
Very much so. There's a lot of potential tonight that got squandered by the fact that you put Superman back in a title role. And I suddenly am now dreading the fact that after this Monday night, you're going to have the WWE title and the whole storyline with that suddenly go to the wayside, and we're going to see more autopilot John Cena stories. Because that's what happens with the writing crew. John Cena's back. Oh, we can go on autopilot now.
I don't think it's autopilot. Daniel Bryan made this point in an interview I was watching earlier, where he basically said, you know, when John Cena's around, he has to be in the main event, because you can't have the guy in the fourth match being, you know, cheered the loudest, have the biggest reaction, and then the main event being not so loud.
What happened to, like, last year when he was doing matches at the start of Raw or in the middle of Raw?
Talking for pay-per-view.
Still, what, can't
he? Well, he wasn't even in the main event tonight.
I know, I'm just saying, this was Brian's point, and your point was putting Cena as the focus. That was the point. That sort of backed up what you were saying, how Cena will be the focus. That's why Cena is always the focus.
Yeah. And it's sad, really, because they've had some great writing over the last couple of months with Cena out, and you've seen other people get a lot more attention, and I just wonder how much of that attention is going to disappear now that Cena's back.
That's what why don't we find out what happens tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. Anything else you want to add towards this matchup?
God damn it. That's all that's really left to say. I don't think there are any of us, you know, people in the chat room, us here on our little panel, that are actually happy to see Cena with a title again.
Yeah. It's...
The only reason I'm happy that he has the belt is it'll keep him out of the WWE Championship story.
For now.
Which, going into this weekend, was, well, a different story where Survivor Series was concerned between Cena and the WWE Champion were concerned. So it's a good thing. He's a world champion. For now. Speaking of titles, Divas titles on the line, AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. I think all of us on the panel were glad we were wrong.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? I called AJ.
Okay. Three of the four of us on the panel were glad we were wrong. Then, Omega, you go first. Thoughts on the match?
I will say I'm kind of... Part of me is actually sad that AJ... didn't lose the belt, because I'm still so accustomed to Divas matches being the piss break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know when to run for a bathroom trip or a snack now, because I'm very interested in AJ matches. The girl's too good, Rock. I mean, she took a Bella and had a good match with her. I mean, come on. This is so not fair.
It's so not fair. Second time in a row, she's
I'm
had a good
so
match.
I'm so trained to go, oh, Diva, nap time.
But when AJ's on the scene, there is no nap time.
No.
No. Mace?
What?
Matt, thoughts? Match?
Sorry, I'm distracted by the photo Lindsay sent.
You're welcome.
Them eyes, man, them eyes.
My precious.
Oh, no shit, but god damn, it's awesome. yeah, it's like, dragged a good match out of a Bella. What the fuck? Bizarro world. Considering, you know, I was watching Impact last night and just sort of went, oh, they just did a match with their entire roster. Okay. Let's have a look at what's going on the other show. Oh, wow. Definitely night and day. This was actually a very good Divas match. As Omega said, you know, we're trained to go Divas nap time. Now it's like, ooh, there's a Divas match on. This is going to be good.
I continue to say it. Brie has improved. Right, Lindsay?
Oh, Brie has improved leaps and bounds, and she definitely took some risks tonight. as did AJ, as really did all of them. I mean, it was definitely a very good, very solid match, a great improvement over what we were seeing this time last year, which I applaud. Thank you. But, I mean, even what I'm curious about is you had Nikki get kneed in the face by her own sister.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really... Bree didn't really seem sorry about it, so we'll have to see if anything comes from that. But, yeah, this was a really good, solid match. It showed that, you know, the Bells kind of figured out how to neutralize Tamina, but not really. And, well, AJ figured out a way to once again escape with her title.
Last year at Hell in a Cell, it was Eve Torres versus Layla and Caitlyn.
Like I said, leaps and bounds.
Mind you, word of advice to Nikki, with the whole dropping the person off the apron, it's sweep the leg, darling, not grab and pull and hold on.
Good thing you went there, because I was just about to segue you into that. yeah. We had a collision between Nikki and Tamina, and as Lindsay said, Brie ran into Nikki's head and, well, knocked her loopy for a while, and that allowed AJ to hit the Black Widow and made Brie Bella tap out to retain the Divas Championship. We now then move, if you guys don't have any more comments for the match.
I'm good.
To the main event, the WWE Championship's on the line. In one corner, you have Randy Orton. In the other, you have Daniel Bryan with the special guest referee, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. I will go to Omega first. Thoughts? Okay, caller, what else do you have to say?
I made more noise than the caller. Shut up. God, this is a buzzkill. I mean, it was a good match. I mean, I can't discredit the performance. But they're leading it. Oh my God, that ending. There's so much bullshit going on in that ending. It just got so convoluted.
All right, before we get to the ending, leave that. Thoughts on the actual match?
I am trying.
Chairs. Oh my, chairs.
First thing the guy in ECW chant in a long time. Because I really did.
But yeah, there were plenty of chairs thrown in the ring. They were very physical with one another, Lindsay.
They were. They definitely went for it in this one. It was a very physical style, which is what Brian likes to do. They used the cage, which is always nice to see. The pile of chairs. It's like, seriously, Brian, how many do you need? I mean, the anger management meeting is going to be tomorrow. But yeah, and it was not as good, I would say, as the last couple they've had, but it was still a solid match. I think at this stage it's more, oh God, what are they gonna do? How are they gonna finish this out? I would say that, like, can I talk about the stuff between Sean and Hunter?
We'll get there in 1 second. The superplex onto the chairs. Oh my God.
Randy! Need to work on your aim. Because for as long as that spot took to set up, I think you did enormous damage to Brian's boots with it. And that's about all that reached that pile.
Tried.
And hard enough.
He's never been good at throwing people, because remember when he was doing T-bones?
Yeah, I remember that he couldn't hit the damn table.
Or the corner.
Or the corner.
And almost kills people. Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it was going to be a nice, loud, mean-looking spot, and then...
Clank. and I believe, Mace, you didn't see any of this, correct?
Yeah, just before this match was when my internet decided to drop out for half an hour. I've got a feeling that... You know, a wrestling god, you know, Eddie Guerrero and Owen Hart.
Don't bring JBL into this.
No, Owen Hart and Eddie Guerrero said, Mace shall not watch this match, make his internet die. And it was so.
So we have a good match. WWE Vacant on Twitter was excited that he actually got a special intro because he came out with Hunter. And then Hunter came back out and was having words with Sean, telling him to do his job repeatedly. Do your job. Kept distracting Hunter. There was a point where Sean was distracted and Randy almost had the pin. There was a time where Daniel Bryan hit the running knee on Randy Orton, had the pin, but Sean was knocked down. This allowed Hunter to get into the cage with the doctor, and then the shenanigans from there took place. Let's see, you had Hunter and Sean argue, you had a running knee to Randy Orton, you had a running knee to Triple H, and then everyone was excited, Daniel Bryan's going to be the next WWE champion, and then sweet chin music to Daniel Bryan. Go for it, Lindsay.
With Randy Orton picking up the victory.
Yes.
I hate to say it, but it was the right call. As much as I wanted to see Daniel Bryan win, as cool as it would have been to see Daniel Bryan get the moment isn't right now. I have a funny feeling they're going to give him a bigger moment either at Rumble or Mania, possibly even Survivor Series. You can do more with Randy as champion than you can with Bryan at this stage. It was a good call. It was the right call. And like I said, I picked Bryan to win, but I said Thursday night.
Friday
night, whatever night we actually decided to do a damn show, it would that Randy made more sense. And Randy does make more sense. So yeah, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. They can cool Bryan off a little bit and then build him back up to head into Mania with him potentially. So, totally fine with it. Good finish.
Before I pitch it back to Omega, LeMans and Jerry, will there be interest this time around? Alright, think about this. I'm just going to throw this scenario out. Not a scenario, just this thing out there for people to ponder. If Daniel Bryan was your WWE champion, who's his top challenger? Now I throw it to Omega. React to the finish.
I said it months ago. This was the limit. At this point, yes, they could give him a bigger moment, but I cannot count how many times WWE has played the long scenario with someone that they thought was going to be a big deal when they finally did win. And by the time they finally did pull the trigger, no one gave a fuck anymore. I mean, Daniel Bryan's hot. Daniel Bryan's popular right now. He's not. The crowd is still loud for him. Not as loud as they were a few months ago. The time they had to get it when he was at his peak has gone. And at this point, you're going to start seeing people going, okay, he gets screwed out of the title at SummerSlam when Randy Orton cashes in. Okay? He gets screwed after Night of Champions because of the Triple H's referee bullshit. Battlegrounds was a no contest because of the fucking Big Show. And then Hell in a Cell where Shawn Michaels super kicks Bryan and we have shenanigans again for four fucking pay-per-views in a row. At this point, I love Bryan. He's exactly what the WWE needs right now. Even I am starting to just go, this is too far. This is too much bullshit going on in the storyline. And it's too many swerves. It's too gimmicky. It's getting way too drawn out. If you have this much faith in Bryan, if you want him to be a champ, if you want to put that belt on him, put the fucking belt on him. At least give him, at least give him a month worth of titles reigns before you take it off of him again or give it back to Orton or whatever. Yeah, he doesn't have as many opponents right now. Orton doesn't exactly have many. The Big Show, And for as much as they could do, they could put him against Brian too. You wouldn't tell the difference. But right now, this is when Brian's hot, and they're taking an enormous risk that if they draw this out to Rumble or Mania, that crowd is still going to be there. And in the last few years, it hasn't. The slow build works in the old days. It doesn't anymore. The crowd gets tired of all the bullshit. The crowd starts seeing through it. It just doesn't work the way it used to, and I've seen it fail so many times. And I just... ugh. I'm honestly getting sick of seeing these pay-per-views end this way.
Good point. Can't dispute most of them.
I am frustrated.
You're very frustrated, and I can hear it. I hear it in your voice. I hear it from what you're saying. They're in a position right now where either way they're in a, it's a tough spot.
See, at the very least, I figure, okay, instead of the whole fast count screw job bullshit, give him the belt for a month. You know, you could have given it to him for 2 months at this rate. And at the least then you have a different angle in the storyline where Triple H is trying to force the WWE to be this thing, but now Brian holds the key to actually making that happen, and he can't get the damn title off of him. You know, he's a thorn in the side right now. That the only way to dig that thorn in any deeper is to get Brian some kind of leverage over Triple H, and that's the only way, and they never gave it to him. So there's so, you know, they could have made something more out of the storyline than just Triple H screws over Daniel Bryan for the fourth month in a row.
But wouldn't you say that Bryan needs a little bit more help to screw Triple H over? Because it seems like the way that they're doing this is they're going to have Hunter and Steph get everything they want. They're going to have control of the company. They're going to have control of the champion. They're going to have control of everything. And that's setting them up to fall. And that's something, if you could have somebody come back, a la Vince, to back Bryan against Hunter and Steph. And that leads to the war between Hunter and Steph and Vince over the power of the company. And Bryan then goes against the corporate champion with Vince's backing.
Then you're completely taking the focus from Bryan and putting it on Vince.
But that's what they're doing. That's what they're going to do. We all know it.
Yeah, we know it, yes.
You still could have run a storyline where Brian had the edge over Triple H for a little while. It would have been different than just the same routine for the last 4 months in a row. Okay, fine, bring back Vince when Daniel Bryan fails to retain the belt. But it makes Daniel, you know, it makes Brian look really strong if he can overcome the machine all by himself. You know, if these corporate powers to be that are so against him, if he can rise above that, you know, the way they would book Cena in this situation, and actually one-up them and get what they don't want him to have by himself, even if it's just for a month, that shines amazingly well on Brian.
But yeah. Which would you rather see him do that at? Hell in a Cell or WrestleMania?
I just want to see him do it. I don't care where it happens. You do it right now when you have the potential rebellion going on, where you finally have guys who are standing up to Triple H, where you have guys like the Rhodes who are finally fed up, Big Show who's finally fed up, all the guys who helped Brian and, you know, got punched for it, you know, Van Damme, Ziggler, basically the entire half of the face roster. You had that there. It's in place. And now it's nothing. Whatever that could have led to, whatever that could have been, even if it was just a side trip in this storyline until we get to Vince versus Triple H, at least it would have been something different. You know, at least it would have been something to give it a little bit more flavor.
What happens if Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
Besides it having less of an impact, it would actually be an easier way to continue the storyline. Like, you take a look at it. Let's compare it to the obvious comparison here. You know, Austin versus McMahon. Because this is basically what it is. It's basically a rehash. When was things, like, at its peak? When Austin had the belt and McMahon was doing everything in his power to get the belt off him. And yet, Austin kept overcoming the odds. That's where we need to start going with Bryan now. You know, the crowd support has waned.
Austin overcame the odds. But at the same time, yeah. A lot of those, if you remember back, because you went through the Attitude Era on the WWE 2013.
2K14 this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Cheers, plug.
It's going to be awesome. Get it Tuesday. It's fantastic. Anyway, point being, how many of those pay-per-views ended disqualification? No contest.
Not a lot of them.
A lot of them.
A lot of them during at least 98, when it was at its peak, was Austin winning. That's the thing. Like, we all know Bryan can out-wrestle Orton. That's why we've had screw jobs for the past 4 months.
Right, but again...
We know Bryan can out-wrestle him. So, that's why we're getting the screw jobs. And I'm like Omega at this point. I want to see it overcome. I want to see Bryan have the advantage so we can have Bryan as the leader of the rebellion. Because frankly, all this rebellion has started during Bryan's time. And again, this is the worry ward in me. I'm afraid that suddenly, now that Superman's back, Bryan's going to get pushed to the wayside. And we even said this a couple of weeks ago on WTR. Even Bryan isn't looking that strong when suddenly we're liking the Big Show's part in this storyline more than we like Bryan's.
But at the same time throughout this, as I was trying to make the point of, Austin would come out with his hand raised some of the time. Not all the time. He would win the matches. But he's also lost the title. He also, during that 98 run, lost the title to Kane. Won it back. Lost the title via screw job when his shoulders were to Undertaker and Kane. And then he was played the referee part in Undertaker versus Kane for the title, which led to a tournament. He also had backing up Shane McMahon at one point to get him back. He was fired throughout that story.
So using your example, alright, so we substitute Vince in the place of Shane.
Mm-hmm.
To get to that point, we still need Bryan to have the belt. At this point, it's getting more and more unlikely. And to be honest, I see what they're doing. You know, I'm seeing where they're going with this. They're dropping Bryan down on purpose to the point where the crowd support wanes so much that when he does win it, it's going to be such a shock and surprise to everybody that the place is going to explode like an atomic bomb went off in it.
Well, they're good at doing that. And at the same time,
yeah.
If you look at what's happened in the last 4 months, he's main evented four pay-per-views in the last two and a half months, which he's very proud of. He's won throughout this entire time period. This is the first time he's taken a loss in, I would say, 4 months.
Well, there's been losses.
Losses is a relative term here. Because he lost when Orton cashed in. He
lost, but was it a real loss? Did he actually compete in a match?
If he can hold the belt longer than a week, it's a win. But the fact is, he didn't. Even when he won, he still lost, which does nothing for his credibility and does nothing for the people waiting for him to win the belt. It's just a continued tease.
They're good at that.
As I said, I see what they're doing. I see why they're doing it. I don't agree with them doing it. It does get grating being a fan and watching this, and you watch it happen over and over and over and over, And even when that looks like he's about to do it, you don't have any hope in him anymore. You know, how many times over the last 2 months in particular have we had Orton versus Bryan in the main event, and it's been, oh, I don't know, maybe, my heart says this, but my brain knows it's going to go this way. You know, it's a frustrating thing to sit here and talk about. Because I know we're all very opinionated people. And
but that's...
No.
No, right?
No, no shit.
But guess what, Mace? That's the best part about pro wrestling.
True, but at the same time, there's only so much that you're willing to take before you're going to pick up that remote on a Monday night and go, it's Bryan on the TV, he's about to get his ass kicked, get run down, get told he's a B-minus, and...
People
and
say
all that,
that
type of stuff again, and you're just gonna flip the channel.
I'm so sick of seeing this guy lose every single time I watch him. Let's see how the Dallas Cowboys are playing.
Yeah, how about them Cowboys?
Ouch. Well, you know what? The Eagles didn't play much better.
Neither did the Falcons.
Damn right.
Everybody's favorite team lost.
It's been a bad day.
It's been a bad day.
I don't have a favorite team.
That reminds me, I should check the scores.
And Kane Ken says, I hate you, Omega. Hey, we didn't start it. And he hates me by association because, well, I went there. Anyway.
Oh, really? 1 point to Detroit? Damn, Dallas.
At the end, too.
Oh, I wish I could have watched it, but it was on at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
And now, fuck you, Mace. Anyway, so Randy Orton's coming out of this as your WWE champion. The Authority has a happy when it looked like they had a man. What role will Shawn Michaels play? We'll find out tomorrow night on Monday.
No more fun on Twitter.
No more fun on the Twitters. HB Shizzle's probably going to be quiet for a while.
Poor HB Shizzle.
I know, right? So that talent sub will get the grades here in a second, but pick 'em, as we normally do for bragging rights, goes to Mace, Ace, Vincent, and Michael from Sweden. All went 5-1.
I thank you.
So Lindsay's streak of winning on WWE events has ended now too. King Kids went 4-2, Omega, myself, and Lindsay, Rob, and Amy went 3-3. Tommy went 3-0 because he only picked 3 matches. Subway went 1-5. Josh went 1-2. So there's your pick'em results. Yes, you got the ones you picked right. So there you go. So let's pick'em. Grade the pay-per-view, Mace. From what you saw.
From what I saw. Okay, so this means that I still have to go and watch the main event because internet's crapped out on me.
It's a good main event, so it's worth watching.
Well, considering I can't take the main event into account and probably the frustration I would have had at the finish, I'm giving this one an A. The pacing was well done, the booking was brilliant, the match had a very big feel to it, and you could tell that the guys were really getting into their matches and making sure that they were putting on the best performance they could. Mm. And it all came across so well on the screen tonight. So, and considering after what we had last week, which might be inflating the grade than I normally would have graded it, yeah, a definite A. This is a top-class pay-per-view. Well worth money.
Omega.
Jeez, it's... I'll be a little harsher and go a B+. It was extremely solid wrestling. You know, I really can't fault the matches here. I have to knock it down for a couple of the endings. Yeah, I think they had more potential if they gave Bryan the belt. I think they had more potential if they did not give Cena the belt. So, it would be an A, but I knock it down to an A minus for those endings. And then I knock it down to a B plus for the scissor lip guy.
Lindsay.
I'm going to give it a B plus. I mean, it was a really solid pay-per-view. It was definitely well-paced. They did a very nice job of timing it out. No problem with that at all. The Kane return left me really lacking. And also the fact that you had Kane come back and then you put the Fandango match right after it was just really awkward because it basically no-sold that entire prior segment. They didn't discuss it really at all. It's just like, oh, hey, look, it's Fandango. So it's like you had this really creepy, dark moment in the pay-per-view, and then they just kind of ignored it and really didn't discuss it the rest of the night. So it's like, that just, you know, kills anything for it right there. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a B+. It was, overall, it was a good pay-per-view, but there were some moments that, yeah, it was just, it left things feeling a little lacking. But on the plus side, we got the Bray Wyatt Survivor Series promo. Ding!
Talk about it.
He was talking about alligators the entire promo. Like, he's just sitting there reading Wikipedia or something. It was kind of awesome. It was right after the John Cena Del Rio match. And I was comforting a fangirl all throughout the main event because she was upset she had missed it.
Poor fangirl. So there you have it. That is our Hell in a Cell review. We're going to do something really quickly. We're going to address a rumor that's out there currently. A rumor currently out there is talking about how TNA is up for sale and that Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, WWE, Viacom, and others have interest in the company, buying the company. Alright. You know how you hear one thing and then everything just spreads and everyone adds on and on to it? That's what's happened with this story. What I'm going to play for you right now is courtesy of Wrestling Observer Radio, where this story started. And then you can hear it for yourself. Okay? We'll put the rumor to rest, kind of.
So the big thing is, what is it, 24/7, the action never ends, something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, they've got a new thing where they're encouraging the guys to send in videos and social media stuff, and it's always going to be up on ImpactWrestling.com. So if you want to see what Eric Young is doing when he's not at Impact, now is your chance.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a way to save face, you know, that they're doing less house shows, you know, and they're doing, it's like we're taking the focus away from house shows to social media. In other words, you know, they're doing far less house shows, and they're doing their TVs, you know.
Now, the guys seem to believe that at the end of the year, the house shows are going to pick up again. Is there any evidence of that, or is this wishful thinking?
I mean, as far as pick up to where it was, I think it's completely wishful thinking because the whole idea is that they're trying to save money, and house shows were a money losing proposition. The problem is that so you've got a situation where these guys are on per show deals, and if you take those house shows out, you know, a lot of their income is out. A lot of these guys can get booked on indies to make up for it. Not all of them, but a lot of them can. I don't know if they can get, you know, as far as the same money that they were getting, and maybe some of them can get the same, I don't know. But then, you know, the thing is, you know, that they can't be videotaped and all that, you know, unless those restrictions are relaxed. So we'll see, but, it is what it is. The company's been losing lots and lots and lots of money. When you look at what they're doing and all the moves that they're making, the moves are going to save money. They're still going to get the same TV money from Spike. I don't know that the ratings are going to, you know, the ratings will drop or maybe stay the same. They'll probably drop a little bit, but not huge. And, the overseas money will still be the overseas money. I mean, the whole thing, there's a lot of moves. There's a lot of moves that are being done behind the scenes. There are, you know, no matter what anyone is going to say right now, and you know, there's big things going on behind the scenes as far as, you know, the future ownership of the company. And at that point, you know, God only knows where it goes. But you know, I mean, you know, there's people looking to get it, and I think that the Carters are looking to get out. I think, you know, they've lost enough money and all that, and you know, as far as what that means, who knows? But you know, I mean, they've been looking to get out for a while. Now everyone's gonna scream at me and all that, but I mean, that's 100%. But you know, that's the stuff that they don't want you to know.
Well, now everybody knows, Dave. They're going to be very upset at you.
They've been looking to get out when they stopped, you know, when it became incumbent, when they didn't want to fund them anymore.
So, I don't know what you can say about this, but is Eric Bischoff involved in this interest?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. Knowing Eric Bischoff, I'm sure that he's probably looking at something. I don't know if he's got backing. You know, I don't know if anyone does, but I would think that Eric would be looking for something or someone to back him to get it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know that he's got that backing though.
Well, stay tuned, everybody.
So, in any of that, did it say they're 100% selling? They're looking to get out. That's what they said. And two, that Bischoff might be interested. All these other rumors? No?
Look, let's just get to the truth of the matter. Really, the reason why Tim's not here is because he's currently in talks with Dixie Carter to buy TNA so he can get rid of half the roster and just turn it into Canadian All Pro. Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to...
No, Dixie, do not sell to Tim. Don't.
WTR exclusive?
I'm telling you right now. I will make you a very lucrative offer for TNA Wrestling. All I'm saying is I've got a fresh, crisp $50 bill in my pocket.
And a very expensive White Ranger.
He's not dead yet.
Still, we can buy TNA with it. I think he would be okay
with it. It is an expensive White Ranger.
He would be okay with it.
Well, here, I'm sorry, Mace, I won't be sending you your White Ranger, but on the upside, I'm sending you Christopher Daniels.
Wrong direction. Daniels goes to Lindsay.
No, Daniels goes to Scott Barry. I get James Storm.
Didn't you have him once before?
Hey. It's my $50. I'll send who to whoever I want.
Well, I'll take Daniels. I won't argue with Daniels. I mean, I'm sure we could go shopping together and he could give me fashion advice, but I could have more fun with Storm. I'm just saying.
That's why you're not getting Storm.
Damn it! Well, maybe I could trade Daniels for Storm.
You can find out who I sent Storm to.
I'll find him. He's not hard to find. You just basically put a beer bottle on a fishing line and he shows up.
Here, Storm. Can we get your beer?
Here, Stormy. Here, Stormy.
Mind you, in that entire clip, I like how they tried to make a joke out of, if you wanted to see what Eric Young got up to when he's not wrestling for TNA, mm-hmm. Now's your chance. Do you know how entertaining that guy is away from the ring?
Oh, I know.
You know, fishing show, car trips. Dude's entertaining.
He is.
He'd be one of the ones I'd make sure to, like, subscribe on YouTube type deal.
Mm-hmm. But, like I said, don't believe everything you hear on the internet. That's where the rumor started, and now it's a big rumor.
Well, the rumor died as soon as you mentioned that one of the potential parties interested was WWE. If they had the slightest interest in buying TNA... it'd have been done.
I know, I'm just going off of the...
That's not even a hard deal to make.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's just one of those things that spins out of control, and I wanted to put it at rest, right here on the show. That's all. That said, it's time for the great debate.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And this week on the Great Debate is the greatest debuts of all the time, Santino Morella's debut against Brock Lesnar. Mace.
Yeah, this one's actually a tough one because Brock's one was very impressive during a hardcore match, and he came out and just, you know, turned everybody into friggin' paste in the middle of the ring. At the same time, Santino's was so different. How many of us have had that dream of being at a wrestling event, you know, front row of the wrestling event, and you get called out to get in the ring, and actually, you know, no training, no nothing, like it was a real fight, just get in there and be a part of the show. How many of us have had that dream, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, all of us.
And that was Santino's debut. He was that guy who was at ringside that got called out in an actual open challenge. And not only did he beat Umaga, he won the Intercontinental Championship. You know, that's one of those insane dreams. And it just makes for such a great moment. So, pretty much, Santino definitely had a really good debut under the company that way.
Lindsay.
I'm going to agree with Mace. I'm going to go with Santino. I thought the way that he debuted was extremely creative. It's very unexpected. And like Mace said, how many of us have wanted to have that happen where, you know, you get called out and you get brought into the show and you get to be a part of it. And then they say afterwards, oh, hey, you were awesome. Let's give you a job. And you get to come on tour with us. That's like every fangirl fanfiction ever, you know, minus sleeping with somebody. So it's like, I should say fangirl fanboy, but it was really well done. It was very creative because all of us were like, well, who is this guy? You know, it's like, and, you know, all these years later, we now know who he is, but it's just, it was so well done. It's like, Brock was good, this was better, just for creativity.
Omega?
Well, since my opinion no longer matters here.
Well, that's what happens when we lose a Canadian.
Yeah, just so it's not a complete sweep, I'm going with Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Santino's was different. It also had jack shit to do with Santino Marella. It did him no favors, it did him no justice. Because all it was the feud between Lashley and Umaga, which was just a continuation of Vince versus Donald Trump. It was, you know, Santino Marella was an afterthought. And really all it is, oh, okay, now the Intercontinental Champion's on this nobody who didn't even get in an offense in this match. It was basically just thrown on him to screw over McMahon's weapon of the month, basically. It had nothing. You know, Santino, okay, great. You know, he debuted in a different way. He debuted in a way that didn't do anything for him, and weakened the IC belt in the process. Lesnar came in the way you debut a beast. And yeah, it's something, okay, he comes in and beat down, okay, fine. He beat down three guys, and he triple powerbombed poor Spike Dudley, who's still probably hurting from it today. And he brought back Paul Heyman along with it, which is bonus points. But just for sheer impact, and you know, I say that, you know, I'm trying not to make a pun here, but that's what it was. It was an extraordinarily strong way to debut someone who was supposed to be booked as extraordinarily strong. It worked. It worked extremely well.
Right. So, still, Santino Marella moves on, even though Omega made a good claim for Brock Lesnar. And when you go back and watch the clips, Paul Heyman had hair. Scary.
No, he didn't.
He had longer hair.
Paul Heyman never had hair.
Longer hair coming down.
He had the skullet. He had more of a skullet.
Our next battle is The Big Show taking on Rey Mysterio, both WWE debuts. Since we discounted Omega's opinion last time, we'll go to Lindsay first.
Thanks. Who is it again? Sorry.
Big Show's WWE debut, and Rey versus Rey Mysterio's WWE debut.
Big Show, just for sheer impact.
When he came.
Oh, now impact matters.
Yeah. So, Big Show won. Omega, go.
Let's make it interesting. I'll go with Rey.
Why?
Well, because, okay, Big Show, yeah, he makes an impact, and he was part of another one of the screwy ways that Austin managed to keep a title belt, because he was supposed to attack Austin. He knocked down a cage wall and helped, and actually inadvertently helped him win a match. Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay, it did what it was supposed to do. It made him look, powerful on his debut. The guy is 7'5". He looks powerful no matter what he does.
Except crying.
And holding WWE superstars that he has just punched out. But Rey was built up really well. He had these really nice promos because WWE knew what they had with him, bringing him back in after so long. It was a really nice kind of classic weekly vignette build up. I love the entrance back when he had the springboard and the ramp.
Who's that jumping out the sky?
That was an awesome way to kind of reappear for the WWE crowd. Putting him against Chavo, who he had so much experience with, was a brilliant choice for the first match. He did what he was supposed to do. I mean, Big Show, as soon as he walks out the ramp, you know exactly what this guy's about. You know exactly what he's going to do. Rey, as a cruiserweight in the WWE, has a lot more to prove when he comes out, and they made sure that he got the chance to do that.
Tie ball game, Mace. Break it.
Big Show.
You all suck.
Omega sits here and makes this long argument.
I know. He makes these long, and he makes a good argument, yes. But the thing is, I'm going from my own memories on this one. You know, the Big Show thing was a surprise. Didn't expect him to show up. I sort of expected him to, go into obscurity after he left WCW. To see him come out and help McMahon, well, it was an actual shocking moment. You know, yeah, Ray had great build with the promos and everything, but when it got down to his first appearance, it was a match against Chavo. Yeah, it was a great match. But it's a match I've seen 1,000 times in WCW.
But didn't on that same night he finish off his debut night coming off the top of the cage on a Kurt Angle?
Yeah, but the Big Show threw Steve Austin through the fucking thing.
Which he wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
So,
which just goes to show the power of the Big Show.
Yeah, but not the brain.
Yeah, true. But hey, he's always been a dumb, lovable lug. But yeah, like, just personally, you know, the whole Big Show thing was more surprising, more entertaining. I think what hurt it for me personally is the fact that I have seen Ray and Chavo so many times that by the time it happened in the WWE, it was not for me.
So Big Show and Santino move on. Next week on The Great Debate, it will be Goldust's WWE debut against Dude Love and the bad guy Razor Ramon taking on Booker T's WWE debut. It's next week on The Great Debate. Be ready. Right now. Quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, let's do some quick hits. Lindsay, would you rather be Lindsay Lohan or Kim Kardashian?
Lindsay Lohan.
Why?
She has more fun.
She has.
Plus, she doesn't have a baby.
She doesn't have a baby. That's why. Okay. Mace, if you could live in a fantasy world, would it be Middle Earth, The Matrix, or Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle Rock.
Why?
Because The Matrix turned into a very preachy world near the end, plus it resets every few years. Middle Earth, they're stupid. I will say this, I didn't realize it until I was watching Clerks 2. But they had the big fucking eagles that carried them from Mordor back to the Shire.
They'd have gotten shot down.
Bullshit!
Big fucking eagles in the sky. You've got a giant eyeball watching that entire area. Oh, I'm sure they won't notice.
You know what? They didn't notice a couple of hobbits sneaking in. They didn't notice when they were peeking out over a fucking hill.
They weren't riding giant fucking eagles. That's why. You have no idea how many times I've seen that eagle argument shot down. It works on paper. The second you think about it, no.
But still, they fucking walk way too far. I hate having to walk forever and a day to go anywhere.
They could have at least flown to Gondor.
Exactly! Yeah, why weren't the Griffins doing bombing runs during the Battle of Helm's Deep? Yeah, and talking trees that take forever to say anything? I'd be number one on a fucking wanted list because I'd burn the fuckers down just so they'd shut the fuck up. I'd be punting hobbits from here to next month. And Omega, you know what happens when I cast magic missile.
Oh god.
Do you really want me to have that type of power?
Point it at the Eye of Sauron and I'll let you know.
But no, Fraggle Rock, mainly because Fraggles were fucking awesome.
Omega, would you rather...
And I'd always have a job.
Omega, would you rather be Donkey Kong, Sonic, or Mario?
Mario.
Why? Why?
He gets to be the hero. He has a stable girlfriend. He gets to go. He gets to go play baseball, golf, tennis, basketball, go-karting, whatever the hell he wants. And you know what? I'm not stuck with a bunch of monkeys. And my games are still good.
What do you mean he has a stable girlfriend? His girlfriend's already always in somebody else's castle. He can never find her. I mean, think about it. His girlfriend essentially left him for a giant dragon.
Not intentionally.
Plus, also think about it this way. Every time Mario finds Peach, he gets cake. And we all know what cake is, with quotation marks.
You gotta find her to get it.
Well, that just shows how good the cake is, doesn't it?
I guess. Hashtag Peach's cake.
Maybe. Lindsay. If Bray Wyatt was a fruit, what type of fruit would he be and why?
Oh, I hate you.
Omega laughs.
Well, we know Dean Ambrose is a banana.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Pictures to prove it.
Oh, crap. I don't know. We'll go with a dragon fruit, because it's just weird.
A dragon fruit? Really?
Dragon fruit.
Or that or the star fruit. It's just odd.
Okay. Maze, would you rather be a wolf for the rest of your life or an owl for the rest of your life?
I'd be a wolf.
Why?
Because the only two things that would be done in this... as a wolf would be eating and fucking. Let's face it, they're animals. That's all they do.
And owls aren't?
I don't know. I've never really seen owls. We don't have them down here, sir.
They're giant, essentially, birds of prey that kill things and can, like, are just spooky, scary stuff.
Yeah,
they can turn their head all the way around.
You can dive on people.
No, I'd still go with the wolf. Only because I get to eat a better breed of animal.
Okay. Omega, if you were hired to be a stripper, what would your song be?
I'm sorry. Right now I'm picturing Mace as an owl flying over WWE bookers and pooping. God. You make me think. You. These questions force me to imagine scenarios I never wanted running through my head.
Better than Bray Wyatt twerking.
Oh, we missed, but we didn't talk about the one guy.
It didn't happen. I will never be able to eat a chicken wing again. God, this would be better if I knew more music.
You could dance to
I need Kane. Something.
You could dance to Kane Kidd's favorite song.
Quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow.
Shut that off right now.
Dude, you could strip to the Type C Tetris music.
See, that's what I need. I need video game music.
So this is what you would get down to? If it would play.
Oh yeah, that sucks.
And you know it? I don't...
Actually, you could bounce your ass pretty good at that.
Just be careful, because for some reason I just thought of Omega twerking and it was scary as fuck.
You're welcome, America, and Canada, and Mexico, and Europe.
I hope you weren't planning to sleep tonight, people.
It's not like you're doing it naked.
Well, I am now, since you suggested it.
Well, Mate suggested it. Oh, there you go. Anyway, so what song? Tetris DMC? Type, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I actually like that.
There you go. That's what song Omega will get down to when he becomes a famous stripper on...
Just rig the stage so blocks are falling on me while I do it.
Hey, you never know. You can make some money that way. Do it at a convention. You'll have all the fangirls go crazy for you.
I won't be welcome back, but...
once again, really, really strange image. You know the... Oh, the scene from, I think it was Flashdance or something? Where the woman does a little dance and drops back into the chair and pulls the cord and the water comes down.
Yeah.
Same deal with Omega, except it's Tetris blocks.
Should they be Tetris blocks or little Legos made up like Tetris blocks?
No, they'd be Tetris blocks, but they'd be foam so they don't kill him.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, then you're asking me to do the stripper routine with a bunch of random Lego blocks lying on the ground.
We can make them out of foam.
They're still Lego blocks.
The
they
point
will
of
hurt.
Making them Lego.
Sleep tight, everybody. After those visuals. Anyway, tomorrow night.
Seriously, dropping like a floor full of Legos is like that's just basically a kid's version of a minefield.
Well, I was going to have you dress up like a giant, you know, Tetris block.
I've seen that.
Then, you know, you just peel it off block by block.
Well, like I said, Monday Night Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll recap Monday Night Raw for you. Thursday night, Lindsay, 11 p.m. Eastern, The Rack.
That's right, tune in. We're going to be talking about Impact. We're going to be talking about probably a little bit Hell in the Cell and some other stuff. I have no idea. Tune in, listen, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
This is TheRackRadioShow.com, and buy the official t-shirt of The Rack at ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow. Saturday night, midnight-ish, after we get done torturing Kane Kittens as we play cards against humanity. It's a fun time. We do CB Radio. It's the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Join myself, Rob, Subway, and Ace for all the fun, hilarity, and the excitement. And we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net. Omega, plug your stuff.
Let's see. I am available to view at TJ Omega on YouTube, TJ Omega on Twitter, TJ Reviews on Facebook, and TJOmega.org, which is in serious need of updating.
Should get on that.
I don't have time.
Stop with the Pokemon for an hour.
No.
Yes.
No.
Update your website.
But I don't have them all.
They'll still be there when you're done.
You don't know that.
I'm sure they will be. Maze, plug.
Have I done anything lately?
What are you doing this week when you get a video game?
Oh, yeah. Quite possibly Friday night, somewhere around 7-8 p.m. Eastern. Keep an eye on Facebook for actual time. I shall be playing WWE 2K14. They're probably going through one of the modes with probably Rock and Lindsay sitting here watching, listening, making fun of me. Other than that, sort of keep an eye out because I am currently holding in my hand a nice new copy of Batman Arkham Origins. So something else to play. Ooh, Batman.
Shiny.
Yeah, see, I don't just sit there raising little digital animals. I have a wide variety of tastes when it comes to video games. Other than that, I don't think I've really posted anything to the website lately. No, just information about PAX Australia 2014.
You can follow...
Probably reviews coming. Follow me at The Mace Thing. If you find me on Facebook, don't add me because I won't like you.
Oh.
And rest in peace, the inventor of the Doner Kebab.
What?
The guy who invented the Doner Kebab. He died today. I keep forgetting you're American, you don't understand kebabs.
Yeah, I got nothing. What are you talking about? I was just about to do all your plugs for you, Lindsay, but go.
Oh, okay. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, ThinkWordDesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us, there's a link to my Redbubble store. Please click on the link if you would like to buy any of my artwork. There is a select number of it on Redbubble. Go check it out, including the Portrait of a Wyatt, Portrait of a Rowan, and Portrait of a Harper series. They are now available, as is Sister Abigail and a few others. Also, please listen to The Rack Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. Visit castryriley.net for all your Casty Riley needs and buy the official Rack Radio shirt at WhereRock.
ProWrestlingTees.com/rackradioshow. So for Mace, Lindsay, and Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Tonight. See you all week long right here on wildtalkradio.com.
I made it through the show. Omega, send me my light ranger.
Omega, keep it.
We'll see.
Send it with Rice Krispies.
Pay for the fucking thing, I better get it.
WhiteHawkRadio.com.